calling at, for a family friend, and I would like to get a Nepali interpreter to help us with this.
Mary Plank's made so many of these calls by now, she knows she has to check the battery level on her phone beforehand. Sometimes they take hours.
I'm amazed at how convoluted these things are. I'm just shocked. You know, I go and I get a number and I call the number and it says, we'll call you right back, and I wait 3 weeks. You couldn't do it without somebody.
Plank is that somebody for two Bhutanese families who have spent the majority of their lives, nearly two decades, living in refugee camps on Nepal's border. A former school teacher, Plank volunteers with a new nonprofit in Charlottesville called International Neighbors. It pairs American and refugee families with the hope of fostering friendship and helping the refugees navigate life in America, including the federal health care exchange. But wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
They're not fleeing because there was a flood or an earthquake or because they need better education for their children. Those are all maybe valid reasons, but in this program, people are fleeing persecution.
Harriet Coor is the executive director of Charlottesville's International Rescue Committee, or IRC as it's commonly known.
They have left their home country because of a fear of danger to themselves, either you know, bodily harm or fear of death even.
The IRC resettles between 200 and 250 refugees here each year, which, after 17 years, means that more than 3,000 refugees have joined the Charlottesville community. That's about 6% of the city's population, and they've come from all corners of the globe. Bosnia, Russia, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Burma, the Congo, and perhaps the largest group, Bhutan.
We live in the 19 years and in Nepal, and then we get the opportunity in the United States, and then we came here, and now I'm happy, but I'm able to do it anywhere, you know. Yeah.
38-year-old Mang Gurung and his wife Maisong were born in Bhutan. Their families had lived there for nearly a century, originally coming from Nepal. In the late 1980s, the government declared them and more than 100,000 others illegal immigrants. Amid reports of torture, rape, and widespread violence, they fled for the Nepalese border, where seven refugee camps were built. When families arrive in Charlottesville, the IRC starts them off with an initial apartment, some basic furniture, sheets and towels, food in the fridge, an alarm clock, toothbrushes. They enroll refugees into English and cultural orientation classes, get them physical checkups and vaccinations, enroll them in government health care, get the kids into school. All of this usually within the first month. But after the first 3 months of their arrival, the IRC loses State Department funding, meaning that any additional help for refugees has to come from charitable donations, which, according to Coor, only goes so far. Largely after 90 days, they're on their own, Plank says.
We have people who still have needs that are way past 90 days, years past 90 days, because it's a long process.
And that's where Mary Plank and International Neighbors come in. It was started by Plank's former colleague, Kari Miller, just 4 months ago. They met as teachers at the area public school where the bulk of refugee children go. Year after year, Miller would see children and families struggle to adapt to their new lives.
There's just so much to learn, and we can't expect them to go from living a life of such minimal accommodations and then coming here. And just last month, I taught a family how to use their oven. They'd been here for 4 years. And someone here for 6 years didn't know that the shower, actually the water came out from the top and that you could make the temperature warm. You know?
Stories like this are countless, but it's not just ovens and showers. It's also setting up dentist and doctor appointments and then getting to and from them. It's grocery shopping, helping your child with their homework, knowing the difference between a fake check from Ed McMahon and a real check from social services. How are you supposed to do all of this when your English is tenuous at best?
I have been here. I have difficulty only at the language only. In my country only I studied very little bit, so only difficult for English only. Otherwise, all good, yeah. Work also, yeah.
That's 36-year-old Maisong Gurung. Her mother-in-law makes their traditional hot tea and fried dough. We're in our socks. Our shoes lay customarily parked with the families by the front door. The Gurungs tell me about the conditions they left behind in the refugee camps. Bamboo huts with plastic roofs, no electricity, kerosene lanterns, rationed food every 2 weeks, little access to the outside world, one pair of clothes a year, little work, limited education, two decades they live like that. In my repeated visits with refugees in Charlottesville, I find them extraordinarily welcoming and warm. But life has been difficult, they tell me. They're so happy to be in America, the land of opportunity. Life shouldn't be so difficult here, but it is. Just difficult in other ways. Difficult in ways that make people like Plank a godsend. When my song wanted to learn how to drive, international neighbors hired a professional driving instructor. And when the family needed to be taken to the dentist, Mary Plank was there. Help with healthcare.gov? Yep, you heard it. Plank was the first, but International Neighbors has now paired 12 volunteers with refugee families as part of its Family Friends program. The group has several other programs as well, including High Five Home Friends, who make sure refugee families have five items: a book in both English and their native language, an easily understood board game like Chutes and Ladders, a dental health kit with instructions, a backpack check for kids, and a home check looking for things like beeping smoke detectors, exposed electrical outlets, or refrigerators left open to cool the apartment. The group has also held several events to try and bring people together. I attended one late last year outside a neighborhood where hundreds of refugees live. Dozens of them walked down from their apartments to a large open field. They mingled with Americans and picked through hundreds of donated clothes, shoes, and books. As the adults drank hot cocoa, the kids flattened cardboard boxes to slide down a nearby grassy hill, and languages from all over the world blended into one. For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.